everyone. My name is Kathleen Mullen. I'm the festival director of the Seattle Queer Film Festival, run by $3 Bill Cinema. We're in our 27th edition this year, and we're absolutely thrilled about showcasing this live podcast of Gal Pals Watch. So Gal Pals Watch will be discussing the SQFF pick, Aaron's Guide to Kissing Girls. And I just wanted to introduce our wonderful guests here. So Sarah Nelson is a freelance culture writer whose work regularly appears in Them, Shondaland, and the Seattle Times, among other outlets. They can be found on Twitter at Sarah Marie Wrote. Amazing. Alicia Lavery Mullins has been obsessed with queer media ever since she saw The Truth About Jane on Lifetime when she was 11. She loves to discuss queer and trans representation and its impact on our community. She tries to fit in as much queer media as she can get her eyes on between working and parenting her two awesome kids with her awesome wife. You can follow them at Gals Pals Watch on Instagram and Twitter. Yay, welcome.
Thank you, Kathleen.
Thank you. And usually we start out with our own intro, which is, welcome to Gal Pals Watch. I'm Sarah.
And I'm Alicia.
And this is a podcast where we talk about movies with queer women.
Yeah.
Broadly defined.
Broadly defined, yes. Yeah. So for those of you who don't know, Gal Pals Watch got started when Sarah and I, you know, we, like most lesbians do, I feel like, met on a date.
We met on a dating app.
Yeah.
And then we went on a date,
but it was just, we mostly talked about queer media. Mm-hmm. And then I think we went to go see Black Panther, and we were
that was really fun.
Yes, it was awesome. And it was just like, yeah, this is meant to be platonically.
Yep. And that was 4 years ago now.
Yeah.
And we've been doing this podcast ever since, where we watch a movie that has queer women, and then we talk about it as kind of like a review.
Yes.
And analysis. And a fun time for both of us.
Yes. So we will have spoilers in this, because we just talk about the things that we like and don't like usually. Mm-hmm. But thankfully, we have a really great film today.
Yes.
So very heavy on the like.
Yeah.
Heavy on the love. which is Aaron's Guide to Kissing Girls.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What was your first impression of this movie?
I thought it was very sweet. It was one of those things where, you know, I'm thankful to be part of the committee this year for the Seattle Queer Film Festival. So I got to see a lot of films, and this one was one that really stuck out to me as like a shining star winner. It was like captivating. It was, you know, pulled at my heartstrings. Mm-hmm. But I'm also a big sucker for like coming of age youth stuff. So yeah.
I am too. And I liked this one because it really was about coming of age. It was not about coming out at all. And I know that's something we talk about a lot. And a lot of people talk about that the coming out story is a little bit overdone. Not that it's not important, but this movie centers on middle school age kids, which is also unusual, I feel like. Mm-hmm. Usually youth movies are in high school. Mm-hmm. And I really liked that. I liked that it was middle school. It's a very specific time of life, and that also it was not about coming out at the same time.
In fact, like the summary, usually we have a little summary of the film, and within that it talks about how Erin is the only out person in her grade. So let me just read that. So as middle school is ending, Erin, the only out person in her grade, and Liz, fellow comic nerd and track star, find their friendship tested when Liz is accepted to a private school and Erin falls for the new girl and ex-child star, Sydney. Erin believes the only way to save herself from certain doom is to ask Sydney to the big dance, but the plan goes awry when she starts to lose Liz along the way.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that really encapsulates it, and it's not really... You can tell from that summary, the issue is not necessarily about being gay.
Yeah.
But it is coming of age, as you said.
And especially, I feel like middle school is when crushes tend to start happening, and that can really test friendships sometimes. So that's sort of what this movie is about. I really liked the friendship at the center of this, Aaron and Liz's friendship, which is sort of where it starts and also sort of where it ends, and how they connected over their fandom and comic fandom. Their nerddom.
Yeah, their nerddom. So comic books take a big role in this film. It's really fun. I mean, I wasn't necessarily into comics, but I was into fandom very heavily when I was a teenager. Like, I read a lot of fanfic. I wrote a lot of fanfic.
Someone needs to find Alicia's fanfic.
Yeah, and it's, like, heavily embarrassing now, but at the time it was, like, what nourished me.
And especially for queer people, they don't really get into that in this movie, but I think fan fiction is a big place where queer people feel they can see themselves or make space for themselves in stories.
Absolutely. I think there was a, you know, a bad rap of, or bad reputation of people that, you know, are nerdy, they can't live in this reality, they have to make up their own, but it's like, one, that's creative.
Yeah.
Don't knock
also,
it.
Also, sometimes reality sucks. Let's be real.
Reality sucks. yeah, so I think it's, you know, just a vital part, as you said, of, you know, the queer existence and trying to find your, and adolescent existence, trying to find your place in the world.
Yeah. And it's also a really rich place for friendship, I think. Which a big way that Aaron and Liz connect.
Yeah.
Because in other ways, they're not super alike. Liz is a track star. She gets into this school that's for elite athletes, and that starts to come between them as well. But Aaron's fixation on Sydney is sort of the thing that comes between them the most, I think.
Yeah, they're at this, like, really pivotal point in their friendship where it's, you know, I think for them it seems like make or break, but I think everything does when you're in middle school. Everything feels like so black and white and intense. Well, even not just in middle school, we can keep going.
That's true.
That's a good point. But it's, they're finding, you know, towards the end of the movie, I think they find a way for everything to coexist with each other, which I think is a huge lesson we learn. Maybe not at that time in life, but, you know, in the future, everything doesn't have to be black and white. And you can have a little bit of everything.
You can have it all.
You can have it all. yeah, so that was one of the big things I thought was really cool about this, was just the character development and how, you know, each of the characters grow.
Including Sydney, who has her own sort of arc. She's a former child star, and she's new to this school, and she gets made fun of for her previous role as a child in a children's show. Good Morning with Sydney.
Good morning,
or something.
Good Morning, Lola.
Good Morning, Lola. That's right. Sydney was her real name. Lola was her character's name.
Which the kids, you know, like, a lot of middle school, she gets taunted relentlessly for it, and they, like, sing the theme song, and you know, you think it would be like an immediate pass to being cool, but I guess not when you're a toddler star.
I guess not. Although I have to say, I didn't really buy some of the bullying stuff that was happening in this movie, because I do kind of feel like people were a bit overly bullying about having been on TV, which I also feel like people would probably think was cool. But also with Erin, like, she is openly gay, not any kind of, like, insecure about who she is, but people still bully her for being gay.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's pretty outdated. I especially for younger generations, and I wouldn't know because I'm not part of a younger generation. But
hey, younger generation in the crowd.
I do feel like that's less of a thing now. It seemed like the kind of bullying that was happening when I was in school.
Yeah, I think there's a line in the movie where Aaron, or either Erin or Sydney is mm-hmm. like, are you serious? It's not 2007 anymore.
Yeah.
Which is like an iconic. Yeah. Yeah. I feel like That's Gay was definitely a 2007 term.
Yeah, definitely. There's a couple of boys who are doing most of the bullying and then some girls who are just trying to make their way up the social ladder however yeah. they can. Mm-hmm. But I liked Sydney's character too because, well, first of all, they were in detention together, and
I like they called mindfulness minutes.
Yes, they had mindfulness
which is
minutes.
Like the most eye-rolly cringy thing, I think. I would be like, oh my God, just call it detention.
Yeah. Well, there was even a line where they said they're trying to rebrand detention to mindfulness minutes. But that's where Sydney revealed that her moms were gay, and Erin mm-hmm. got so excited, and it was really cute.
Yes. Yeah, it was very sweet. I feel like Erin sees Sydney as almost like a manic pixie kind of dream girl situation. It's not exactly that, but very much like this girl can do no wrong. She is perfect. Everything she says and does is what I want to obtain, I think. Mm-hmm. Not necessarily be, but obtain. Mm-hmm. So I feel like she likes the idea of her.
Yeah.
And I know that sounds like mean. I feel
so.
Like I'm getting some feelings about a fictional character.
Yeah. It's a little bit that vibe because she doesn't really know her.
Yeah.
And the whole love at first sight thing. I mean, we could talk about that or we don't have to, but it doesn't. Also, when you're 13...
Exactly. It's also so typically 13. I mean, though, it's called Erin's Guide to Kissing Girls, and she has 7 steps on what
really
she
cute.
Needs to do in order to land the girl. 1, impress her. 2, make contact. 3, rope in your wing woman. 4, learn to flirt. That was awesome.
Oh, that was a good montage. That was a really cute montage.
Ask her to the dance. Do a grand gesture, and then kiss the girl.
The grand gesture thing, what do you think about promposals? Because it was not prom, it's middle wasn't. School. But they were doing it anyway.
Yes. So I think when I was 13, I think I definitely would want something like a grand gesture and be like, oh, that's just so lovely and so romantic. But I think if like someone did that to me now, I would, or I don't know. I guess it really depends on who's doing it, right?
Yeah.
Like, because Sydney later on talks about how, like, the pressure that she felt from this, like, big promposal, essentially.
Yeah. That's how I would feel, too. I think something super public like that, especially when you really don't know how it's going to go or, like, what that person really wants.
Yeah.
It's a little risky, and I feel like it doesn't put that person in a good situation.
Yeah. And for context, the way Erin asks Sydney is to just write it on their classroom board.
Put
so
balloons everywhere.
Yeah, so the whole class walks in and it just says, will you go to the dance with me, Sydney, or something like that. So the whole class sees it and she's like,
She says yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
But
which was a kind thing to do.
It is. It is kind. And later on, you know, I think These kids knew themselves a lot better than I did when I was...
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
A lot better when I was 13 because, like, later on they have this whole, like, session where they're just hanging out and talking. And Erin says that she's actually never seen Good Morning Lola. So they watch... she and Sydney watch an episode. And Sydney's like, yeah, I didn't know what to say.
Yeah.
And, like, you basically embarrassed me. But, like, I'm not embarrassed of you, and I'm not embarrassed that, like, you asked, but it was just, you put me on the spot.
Yeah. I liked that it wasn't about, oh, it's because another girl is asking me. It's because, oh, I don't really think of you in a romantic sense, and that's much more realistic and...
Yeah.
And also just nice.
Yeah.
It's nice to see.
Yeah. Sydney was like, I don't know how I feel about anything. Like, I'm not ready to, like, commit myself to any label, which was, you know, very sweet.
Yeah. Erin was extremely fashionable.
Oh, yes.
I was obsessed with her clothes. Never seen a better dressed person, honestly. Yes.
There is honestly like so we were watching my wife is also named Erin. Yes. and we were watching it. She was like, "Is this how kids really dress?" Is this okay? And Maddie, my daughter, was like, "I don't." And I was like, "I think they do." Like, I'm in middle school and I know. But yes, a lot of like very bright shirts. Mm-hmm. There was one
denim, a lot of cool yes. denim with pins and stuff.
Yes, a lot of flare.
Bow ties.
Oh yes. Yeah. Yes. I think my favorite was the Blue Flame Guy Fieri style
yeah.
shirt. That was in a scene on How to Flirt. That was
oh yes,
it's an excellent scene. Yeah, so I highly recommend this movie just for that scene.
Mm-hmm. She's in front of a mirror. She's doing the classic thing where she's practicing.
Yeah, pickup lines.
Yeah,
and such. It's very sweet. I like the you know, she has a jean jacket. Like, oh, what is this made out of? She checks the tag. Girlfriend material.
Highlight of the yeah. movie.
Yeah. And she even tries to use that line I know. Later on. Oh my gosh.
She fails a little bit.
Yes. So at one point there's a party for a popular girl. I believe her name is Janet.
Yes, one of them is Janet.
Janet, Julie, or Jessica.
Those
are the three
popular girls.
Yeah. and they end up in this spin the bottle truth or dare situation.
Yeah, which it was truth or dare, but they spun the bottle to pick who would go.
Yes. And they decided a dare would be 7 minutes in heaven. Basically, you're 7 minutes in the closet.
Yeah.
It lands on Sydney, and Sydney picks Erin. And this was, you know, big deal for Erin. She's really sweating it in the closet, figuratively. Yep. yeah, so that was, she tries to do that mm-hmm. that line, and mm-hmm. it fails.
Yeah.
Sorry to say.
They do have a nice time in the closet. They're not kissing, but they're, like, bonding.
Yes, despite the title of this movie, there's zero kissing.
Yeah, there's actually no kissing.
Yeah, my spoiler daughter alert. Wouldn't believe me. There's zero kissing in this movie. yeah.
So do you want to transition to our interview part, or do you have more to say?
Oh, I mean, I could really talk for like an hour on this movie.
Oh, okay.
I won't. but I would just say in general... Mm-hmm. You should go see this movie. It's so good.
I agree.
It's playing right after this at the mm-hmm. Erickson Theater, I believe.
Yeah.
Okay. But you can also view it online with a virtual pass.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. And we have Juliana. What's her? How do you pronounce her last name?
Naughton, I Naughton. Believe.
Juliana Naughton, sure. The director of this movie, is on tap on Zoom. So we're going to let her into the room. Yeah, we're going to talk to her about Erin's Guide to Kissing Girls. Juliana?
Hi.
Oh, hi.
We have to turn up the volume. One moment.
Wait, there we go. Is it working?
I believe so. Can you hear us?
I can hear you.
Awesome. Yay! Thank you so much for joining us.
Oh my gosh, I'm so excited. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for joining us.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we love this movie. Just want to put that out there.
Mm-hmm. We've been singing its praises for the past...
Thank you.
...however many minutes.
what was your... I know this actually started out as a short film.
Mm-hmm. Which we both watched on YouTube and really loved.
Yes, so good. What was it like going from short film to feature?
Yeah, I mean, I guess the genesis for the idea, inspiration for both short and feature was sort of this idea that I wasn't really seeing a lot of queer coming of age films that were not solely focused on like coming out or rooted in tragedy, which like those stories are still, you know, very important to tell, but it began to feel like it was the only one. And likewise, it was very important to me to tell a story that maybe focused on a younger age group, because especially with like the birth of the internet and kids having like more language to come out and, you know, the comfort to come out at younger and younger ages. It felt like there wasn't anything out there where they could see themselves represented. So anyway, so this just started just as this idea for the short to create this more like happy queer love and friendship story. And we really just like self-funded the whole short and wasn't expecting a whole lot. And then just seeing the reception and reaction to the short made me realize like, okay, like this is a story that is really needed out there. And it had always been my hope and goal to create a feature, like a short to feature. And I was thinking like, I think this is it. And it was so much fun to be able to explore the characters a little bit more, and especially with like Liz and Sydney, to build them out a bit more and discover like who they were. So yeah, it's just been such a wild journey, but I'm so happy to be here.
Yeah, we were wondering about the casting. How did you find the characters for both the short and the feature film, or the actors?
Yeah. Well, we just did an open casting call, and I think it was pretty obvious right away when each of like our leads came in that they were going to be the one. Particularly for the feature, Elliot, who plays Aaron, Jessica, who plays Liz, and Rosie, who plays Sydney, they had all come in and auditioned for Aaron. It was sort of like that moment. Yeah. And it was this moment of like, okay, like these feel like the three, but like then it was just sort of like trying to like slot them in and like figure out where they fit best. We did like a lot of chemistry reads and whatnot. I remember with Elliot in particular, when they came in, they were sporting like this jacket with all like the pins and like, you know, a very similar wardrobe than to what I pictured Aaron wearing. And I was like, well, either your agent is amazing or you just are Aaron. And it was the sort of thing where we had said in the casting call, like we hadn't made it, I guess, like mandatory for you to be like queer to be cast in this film because of the age group. Like, you know, kids are still figuring it out at that age and like may not, you know, be comfortable like having, it just felt weird to like ask them to come out in the audition process. But we had put in the language, you know, if you feel comfortable enough self-identifying, like, please do so. And Elliot right away was like, I love this character so much. Like, I relate to her. Like, I came out not that long ago, and I'm just so glad that this story exists. Like, thank you for writing it. And I was like, oh, okay, how can I not cast you now? Like, this is like, I just melted.
Yeah. That's wonderful. I think, yeah, we definitely wish we had something like this when we were younger.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, what was the driving force what was the driving force behind focusing on the friendship and the ways friendship changes when romance sort of enters the picture or crushes enter the picture?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like at that age, you really are... it's like the first time for a lot of people that you're starting to have romantic feelings. And I, at least for me, like when I was 13, 14, it just felt like there was such a divide in my grade between like the people who were like growing up so fast and like trying to, you know, to be more grown up and like into like boys and crushes and, you know, parties and all these things. And then like the people who were like me, who still felt like a kid, who, you know, still wanted to like, you know, play pretend and like, you know, nerd out about like all these like more, I guess like younger obsessions. And so I thought that was, really interesting to explore, from a queer perspective as well. You know, like navigating, I guess, this sort of shift in like what happens when, you know, one of these characters is feeling more towards like one way or another, like starts to outgrow, quote unquote, the other. Yeah, and so, but I also felt like a lot of the queer stories that existed out there were like heavily focused on romance, and I wanted a story that, you know, romance is involved, but like the main relationship at the end of the day that ends up being the most important, you know, is like the friendship, and also just like showing like different types of like queer love and how that can manifest.
I love that.
Yeah, I was continuously questioning, or I guess thinking about, the idea of queer friendships and how limited that is within the media. And even though Liz, you know, doesn't identify any particular way within the movie, it is a bit ambiguous. I just thought it was so incredibly important to, even if, you know, Liz did say they were straight or gay, it's how does a queer person, you know, a lesbian in this case, navigate a friendship with another girl? You know, and I think because you know, at least at that age, everything seems so high stakes. And I feel like this is a very it was a very graceful portrayal of that time in life.
Thank you.
We were talking earlier about the choice to set it in middle school versus high school. I feel like so many people choose high school when they're when they're trying to make a film about youth. And you've pretty much described it already, but, well, you don't have to answer this if you don't feel comfortable, but how autobiographical is this? What drew you to the middle school age versus the high school age?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I was not out in middle school or high school. Like, it wasn't until I was like 19 that I really came into my sexuality and started to feel comfortable identifying as queer. And so in a lot of ways, I've been calling this film a love letter to my younger self, because I wish I could have been as unapologetically myself as Erin was or is in the film. And yeah, and like I said, like I felt like the earliest kind of media that existed out there for any queer youth did start in like late high school. And I wanted these like queer youth who were coming out younger to be able to see themselves in the media. So yeah, and we've been getting really positive receptions from the audiences intended for, which has made everything so worth it.
Yeah, can you tell us more about that, what your experience has been like?
Yeah, I mean, like, we're still fairly early on in our festival run, so there hasn't we haven't interacted with that many audiences, but for example, we're at the Mill Valley Film Festival right now. And we had an educational screening on Thursday, and so we had like a bunch of middle school and high school students come and watch it, and I was like, okay, this is like, this is the true test, because at that age, like, they're not polite, like, they'll let you know if they like something or not, like, you know, like, there's no like beating around it. And so it was so gratifying. Like, Elliot and I sat at the back of the theater, and, you know, they were so into it, and they were just like, you know, cheering, like, when certain like scenes like came up, or like, you know, dropping F-bombs, like, when something didn't go planned. It was just like, oh my gosh. And then afterwards, like, we just both got swarmed after the Q&A, and Elliot got asked for a bunch of autographs, and it was so surreal and lovely to see that, you know, that audience like was responding to it the way that we had hoped when we started writing it.
That's really cool.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
Do you have any fun or funny stories from set?
Oh man, I feel like I have so many, but I mean, I don't know, like the actors just made every day on set so much fun. Like we really tried to have like a good time filming it. Like Jessica, who plays Liz, is such a little weirdo in the most endearing way possible, and like would take on this like persona of like this Southern man named Bob, and like we would be like rehearsing lines, and she would be like, "This is Bob," like, and just like. And then like we had like one morning where we were a lot of the cast and crew were all working on Scarlet Sparrow and Lunar Girl, like the fake comic that's in the film. They were working on like fan art to go in the background.
Oh my
that's
god.
So cool.
That's so
and
so, cool.
So we had a lot of fun with the filming of it. Like almost like too much fun at times. Like the scene that we shot at the party with all of the kid actors, like those were like we were in like tight days, and like the kids like became really close friends. And my cinematographer, Haley, at one point was like, "I liked it at the beginning when they were all awkward and like wouldn't talk to each other." But they were fantastic. We had such a good time.
Oh, that's awesome.
That's fantastic. How long did it take to create Aaron's Guide to Kissing Girls?
I mean, I started writing the script for the feature probably in like 2018. And then our plan was to shoot it in the summer of 2020, and then you can imagine what happened yeah. there. And so we ended up delaying a year, which also caused us stress about casting, because it's the sort of age where a year can make a difference. And luckily we were able to keep the same cast. But yeah, and then we shot for 20 days in July 2021, and then we finished editing in May, and now here we are.
Wow. Kind of a whirlwind.
Yeah, it has been, for sure.
Yeah. What is next for you? Are you working on any new projects?
Yeah, I am. I just got, so I'm from Toronto, Canada. I don't know if that was mentioned earlier, but I got a Canadian Arts Council grant to write my next feature, which is it's a sister story about like these two sisters who are estranged and coming back together on the New Year's Eve of Y2K, when they Ooh. Thought the world was going to fall apart because of all the computers not knowing what to do. Yeah. So yeah, I'm really excited about that one. And then I've also got a idea for a television show in the works about four queer teens who develop superpowers when their biology project goes wrong.
Wow, Ooh. That sounds pretty great. Would watch.
Yes.
Yes.
That's fantastic. I was curious about the ending. To spoil it for those in the room who haven't seen it, Aaron and Liz end up like they dance, and there's a scene or a line where I guess she Liz asks Aaron if Scarlet Sparrow and Lunar Girl were ever meant to be together, and Aaron says something along the lines of, maybe not right now, but that's how I always imagined it. And then you did a really great job with this, Juliana. They'd zoom out and they're in their like cosplay outfits, and it's just so cute. It makes me cry every time I see it. But did you, like, I assume you meant for it to be ambiguous. Like, what was your vision there?
Yeah, I mean, like, I went back and forth so many times, and there were people on like Team Kiss, Team No Kiss, and like how, you know, how explicit, and like, you know, it's Aaron's Guide to Kissing Girls and blah, blah, blah. But I'm so happy with how I chose to end it. I feel like if there were to be a kiss between the two of them, it felt more like a movie moment as opposed to something authentic between like what Aaron and Liz would actually do in this moment. And I was like, there's so many ways to show like love and care for each other that, you know, that is not kissing. And I did want to leave it a little bit ambiguous, like, so you can, I like having endings that sort of give a little bit of power back to my audience so they get to decide. But I think in the end for Erin, like, you know, at 13, like she starts the film, I guess, like, with one idea of like what romance and love can look like, and like wanting to go for this kiss. And then by the end, that's evolved a little bit. And so they have this tender moment, that I think feels a little bit more true, for the characters.
Yeah.
Tender is such a great word for it.
Mm-hmm, I agree.
Yeah.
And as you were saying before, you know, middle school is such a, you know, crazy time in life where, you know, our peers are sometimes growing up faster than we are, and you know they're obsessed with like crushes and wanting to be kissed. And I like that, you know, there wasn't a kiss at all in this film. Actually,
I liked that a lot too,
because it really speaks to the fact that, you know, even Liz, like, she has no, you know, interest in kissing anyone, it seems like.
Yeah.
So
she has other things that will definitely come ahead of that.
So it makes sense.
That's exactly it. Like when I was 13, also, like, I thought the height of romance was like holding hands or slow dancing. Like, I was like, that is what you know, that's what it is. But and
being in my 30s, though, I think that is still quite romantic.
You know?
Absolutely. Like, you touch foreheads with someone, that's like, that's
gay.
Yeah.
That's so gay.
Do you have any more questions, Alicia?
Oh, yes. I do have one fun one.
Ooh, yes.
What was the first piece of queer media that you were like, whoa, this made me gay? Or not really, but like, oh wow, other people like me exist. Or, you know, what kind of experience?
Yeah,
if that's not too personal.
Oh my gosh. That's such a good question, and I'm like totally blanking right now, which probably goes to show like how much, how many like queer characters there are. Like, I don't know, like I feel like it must have been like, what's that character's name in Mean Girls? Like Damien. I thought like Janice, obviously, is like very queer coded, and I was like, but yeah, I don't know. Like, again, like I feel like most of the queer characters that I saw growing up were like a lot of guys. Like, I didn't see a lot of queer women. I don't know. Does Kim Possible count? Like,
oh, definitely.
Kim Possible and Shego?
Is that Velma. Yeah, Velma.
Oh, Velma.
Oh, yeah, Velma. Yeah. That's a good one. Yeah.
Kim Possible was very queer coded.
Yeah, definitely.
Right? Yeah, I definitely have a crush on her.
Yeah. And their
and Shego?
Tension. Yeah, with Shego. The villain.
Yeah.
It was very gay.
Yeah. Were you part of any fandoms when you were growing up?
Yes. I mean, I was obviously. I mean, I was, you know, as everyone else was, like, into Harry Potter, which has, you know, evolved over time. But, you know, I was really into that growing up. I was really into Series of Unfortunate Events and still am.
Oh, yeah. My sister was super into that one.
Oh, my gosh. Like, I was, yeah, like, a very, like, morbid child who was like, oh, I love that, like, these books don't, like...
That's my daughter as well. Oh, yeah, my daughter is very morbid.
And Star Wars was a really big thing. Mm. Like, that's, like, one of the first movies I can even remember watching, I think, because my dad was obsessed with it and was like, we're watching this.
That's awesome.
Well, yeah. All right. Well, yeah, I think that was all of our questions. Thank you so much for joining us, Juliana.
Thank you so much for having me. I had a great time chatting with y'all.
Ditto.
Yeah, thank you. And good luck with the rest of your
good luck.
Your film festival route. Yeah,
and your future
thank
projects.
You so much.
Yes, and future projects. We'll definitely keep an eye on it. Yeah.
Sounds good. Thank you so much.
Thanks.
Bye.
Bye.
Yeah, wow, that was fun.
Yeah.
I love when I get to talk to people who were like really heavily involved in making a creative project.
Because we just like sit here and scheme for the most part. It's like, well, maybe they meant blah, blah, blah. And maybe they meant this.
And that's fun too.
Yes, it is.
It's, once art is made and in the world, it's open to interpretation.
Yeah, I did like that it was left to give the audience some power. Mm-hmm. That's nice.
Too.
Final thoughts?
I would say I am very happy this movie exists. I hope more like it come down the line that are not just, I mean, no shade, but a little bit of shade maybe to Love, Simon.
Which is also in this film.
They reference it. It's actually pretty funny. The popular girl is like, hey, Aaron, I watched Love, Simon. Such a good movie. Pretty funny.
I've never actually seen Love, Simon.
I have seen it, but I would like those 2 hours of my life back.
Personally, I heard it was not great.
Yeah, that's okay. I think this movie was really great. I think it's a really good addition to a queer film festival as well.
Yeah, especially for youth. There's not a lot out there, and I think with the
not a lot of good youth queer
good,
youth movies.
Good queer youth, especially. Yeah. More modern, current takes.
And nuanced ones.
Yeah.
Nuanced. I love nuance. It's my favorite thing.
Yes. I love the gray zone. I thought this was a fantastic film. I'm glad it exists. Mm-hmm. It fills me with joy.
Yay. And we don't say that about a lot of the movies we watch, so I feel like this was a real win for everybody.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. It brought me back to a time that, I'm glad I don't have to live again.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's so awkward.
To watch from afar, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's very heartwarming.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But yeah, watch it.
Yeah. It's go watch it after this.
Yeah.
If you're here currently, you can go watch it after
It's premiering at the Erickson Theater at 2:15. Mm-hmm. And then you can watch it online through the virtual pass. Mm-hmm.
Thank you to $3 Bill Cinema and Seattle Queer Film Festival for having us. Very cool.
Awesome. Yeah, thank you.
And thanks everyone for showing up to watch us talk.
Yeah.
It's fun.
And for all you listeners, if you want to email us, you can email us at galpalswatch@gmail.com.
Or find us on Twitter at galpalswatch.
And Instagram at galpalswatch.
Yep. That's
Keep it gay!